Hello and welcome to the T-Formers.com podcast. This is Ironheart 1975, and I have a cornucopia of different types of footage for you. First thing we have coming up here is reaction from my friends coming right out of the theater from seeing Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. So we're going to go right into that. So.
Wrong again. Not a fan.
That was probably worse than the
first.
Wait,
wait for
it.
Gremlins?
Where's Jason?
He was right behind.
He was tied to him.
Let's wait for him. Let's wait for him.
Well, let's get out of the aisle.
I like that theater. It's more detailed.
Wait till you get outside. Don't ruin it for everyone else. Be polite. And then, what?
We couldn't possibly ruin that, Freddy.
The more you hate it, the better it is.
Because only you would get fourth grade humor, which is what Transformers 2 was about.
I gotta say,
the humor was a little over the top, but really just ridiculous.
Hold on, we'll go outside, and I want to get your overall. And then I want to know what you feel worked and what didn't work. You don't
the
like
movie.
Anything. Yeah, you didn't like anything. I know that. Okay. Okay, I'm standing here with Scott, Kirk, and Little Scott. Okay, so overall...
Little Scott.
And I like Scott, then?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what Jamie called you or something. All right, so overall, what'd you think?
Worse than the first one.
Worse than the first one?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like it compared to the first one?
No, I thought they dropped the ball completely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think anything worked?
I liked that the body count was up. I liked Devastator. I liked a lot of things. I didn't like the female Transformer, but it made no sense. Plot holes abound. If you're trying to get information out of a brain, you're going to smush him and blast him in zillions and pieces. That makes no sense.
I said actually that same thing in one of the previous podcasts. That every preview I ever saw for needing what he has, you were completely manhandling him.
Yeah, you try to blast him into oblivion and he
wins. Yeah, and it's like Grindor, the helicopter, you know, it's like you go through the thing, you drop him 100 feet, you know, airbags. Well, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, so obviously.
Right.
You know, yeah, and then they buzzsaws the car, not even caring where they could have been splayed at the moment.
Right.
They
don't even know which one it was.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, Little Scott?
I slightly liked the plot a little better in the first, but I liked the special effects better in the second.
Okay.
You brought the special effects. I give you that. The special effects were better.
Okay.
Having seen the second one twice, I like it more the second time.
Third time, it keeps getting better the more I watch it. So.
The first 30 minutes were pretty bad.
Really?
Terrible.
Why do you say that? Just curious.
It was nonsense.
Nonsense for
the gremlins in the kitchen was terrible. The first 15 minutes.
Do you just not like the concept or
just stupid? Why all of a sudden does he touch it? He touched it 500 times in the first movie. Now all of a sudden it gives him powers because we need to get the movie moving along. It's nonsense.
That's a good point. He was carrying the darn thing.
So I was sitting there watching it.
Do not wash your
shirt. That's Barricade for the first movie.
Ravage was awesome though. I liked Ravage.
You like Ravage?
I liked Ravage a lot.
Kirk, did you like anything? Or no?
You liked Ravage.
The fact that Mudflap almost died.
Okay, so here's the big controversy. Do you think the robots were racist? Do you think Mudflap?
I think the word racist is overused in our society. Everybody, the second they hear something you disagree with, you're a fucking racist. Okay, yeah, great. But can we say regressive ethnic stereotype? I mean, I'm going to say this in the podcast, too.
Right.
It's like I was really expecting Skids and Mudflap to be bitching because there was no watermelon and Popeye's fried chicken flavor Energon for them to suck down.
Oh, where my Popeye's chicken Energon?
Yeah, exactly.
Indiana Jones, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those
two were terrible.
So
they ruined the whole movie for me.
Too?
The two were terrible.
Here's my phone.
Those two ruined
Okay, all right. All right, Kirk's talking. Hold on.
They use fourth grade humor. And the word pussy coming out of a robot's mouth.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. There were it's Michael Bay. There were too many, like fourth grade, we get to see Devastator's wrecking balls. That's great.
It's not
that there was cussing. It's that it was
It was forced.
Juvenile and, yeah.
It was like, it's some parts like with the parents I thought it worked where she's like, I ain't going to do shit. I mean, that was funny. But when it was like other parts, it was too forced.
Yeah. I thought we were going to see titties just to get an R rating. That's how forced the language was.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I mean, especially now, what'd you think of the editing and whatnot? Because my biggest complaint was
it's easy to follow, but
I didn't
sure
like the Blair Witch cameras.
Yeah. That's what Michael Bay
does.
Oh,
my God. I mean, let me see what the hell's going on.
That's not Michael Bay.
You know,
Bay's
literally, they give somebody with Parkinson's the goddamn camera to hold it.
Okay.
I just missed whole parts of fight.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, what'd you think? What would you give this?
10 being high?
Well, yeah.
10 being impossible.
That was one of, apparently,
9.99
was
the best you could get.
One of the many red shirts.
I would say probably 5.
And what would you give the first one?
6.5.
Jace, well, hold on. I want to do yours for the real podcast. What do you think, Scott?
My rating?
Yeah, your rating. Real quick, come on.
Second one.
Out of 10.
8.
And then what would you give the first one?
9.
Kirk.
It's unrateable.
All right, there you go, folks. Here's me and my friends at the theater.
All right, so that was my friends at the theater, and now we're going to have the initial reaction from Z Piper myself on the car on the way back to my house.
Sure.
So we're in the car, and I'm backing up, and we just saw Transformers. This is the third showing for me, and I'm here with Z Piper. So, Z, what are your initial first impressions?
Well, my initial first impression was, I mean, all in all, I wasn't going in here, you know, expecting complete, you know, cerebral Shakespearean theater. Right. I got that. But, I mean, all in all...
Right there from your mouth.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, all in all, I would probably, if I had to use one word or phrase to describe it, it would be anticlimactic.
Really?
Yeah. Just because, you know, we had 2.5 hours... And they did something that I was kind of afraid of, in that there were too many robots. You know, we had a bevy of red shirts, you know, just random anonymous Autobots and Decepticons whose only purpose is to get ripped apart or blown apart on screen. And you had a few, you know, who we had all this speculation about as far as characterization and who's this and who does that. And they had, like, one line in the movie, you know, like, for example...
Sideswipe.
Yeah, Sideswipe, who killed, albeit very artfully, who killed random Decepticon,
Sideways.
Number 2. Well, okay, they gave him a name, great, but he really had no characterization in the movie. And then, you know, you had R.C. and her two cohorts who had a little bit of on-screen time, and then R.C. gets one line, and then she gets blown apart.
Yeah.
You know, which, don't get me wrong, I know I've said previously in other podcasts that, you know, I mean, it's a war. Not everybody should die heroically. That I still agree with, and, you know, we definitely got a lot of that. But again, I just thought that there were too many red shirts, you know, just getting blown apart, just be showing robots getting blown apart on screen. And I just had a real problem following the action on screen. I believe the example that I used was, like, you know, they gave, like, all the cameras to a bunch of people with Parkinson's disease because... even if you're just running down a hallway, do we really need to shake the camera up and down 6 inches, you know, to give us the illusion, you know, that there's a lot going on.
Right.
But it was it just made it difficult to follow. And the fight scenes, you know, albeit I'm pretty sure they were epic in proportion and whatnot, again, very hard to follow. I think, one, that just has to do with the more organic nature of how they just look, you know, and transform. And it's just, you know, when they're rolling into basically a ball, you know, jumping over each other and doing all the things, it's a little bit harder to tell what's going on.
Right.
So...
what did you think of the fight scene in the forest with Optimus and Megatron? Optimus taking on Megatron, Starscream, and Grindor at once.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed that, you know, definitely. But again, there were some bits that were a little hard for me to determine. Now, maybe once I see this multiple times, there was a lot of times I couldn't tell who Optimus was fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're all grayish, you know, relatively the same shape. And yes, I know that, you know, Megatron's got that one kind of funky claw arm, and, you know, if you look at Starscream straight on, he's got, you know, it's more of a diamond shape,
right,
or,
right,
you know,
right,
whatnot. But in the heat of battle, it was very hard for me to tell. Like, I couldn't tell at first who, you know, in that one scene where they kind of zoom in and they show Optimus ripping the one guy's head apart.
That's random.
Right. I was like,
right,
who just bought it right there? I had no idea. So, I mean, that was kind of a complaint for me. I mean, I understand there's a lot going on the screen, but it was really hard for me to follow. You know, the camera was too shaky, and it was too much. I would have liked to have seen it just back a little farther, and, you know, I mean, maybe on the DVD works something, I can slow it down. But
Well, here's the thing. When I saw the first movie, I sort of had the same problem at the end sequences. And I think what they do is their technique is to make the action happen so fast and even purposely blur things, which would technically be what the human eye sees. But by doing that, it makes it look more realistic. Because there was only one part where you really saw Transformers standing still. Actually, two parts. It was either in the garage with Bumblebee or when Optimus was at the base. And when they did that, they looked great. They looked realistic. Every other part, they're moving around. For an old guy, Jetfire is moving around, going left and right. You know, it's sort of like, well, we really didn't have the time to make this look as well as we did, so we're just going to fake it by doing a lot of them moving around. So you really can't let your eye rest on any point at any time to be able to determine, hey, this looks real. Now, I mean, all in all, I thought that, the majority of these shots did look real. I felt there were a couple shots that were a little bit like, they need a little more extra rendering time on that shot. But then again, it's one of those things where when I get the DVD, I may do a slow-mo and walk through it. But yeah, it was hard to follow things at time. And literally, it was like, I don't think you blink at all during the last battle scenes because there's so much going on. And, like, the first time I saw Optimus take care of the Fallen, I'm like, what just happened here? I can't figure out what he just did. Now, the second time I saw it, I paid a little more attention. I'm like, okay, now I know what he did. He speared him through the chest, and they punched him through the chest. So, and the third time, I could see a little bit more. But, man, the first time I saw the movie, I really wanted a rewind button.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that kind of brings up another thing, too, that when I was using the phrase anticlimactic, it's just the Fallen can only be killed by a Prime. Okay, well, why? You know, because from the look of things, I mean, granted, I realized Prime was kind of juiced up, you know, with the power of Jetfire and whatnot at that time. But the whole climax, the whole little battle with the Fallen, just, it was what, like 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and
right.
Really, I didn't see the Fallen do a whole hell of a lot other than get his ass kicked. And, you know, and what I have to say that I thought Tony Todd was a good choice for the voice, and it was nice to be able to actually, that they didn't over-modulate it, and it sounded like they didn't, they toned down the modulation on Megatron with Hugo Weaving this
right,
time as
right.
Well. So you could kind of see that a little more. So that, you know, I appreciated. Frank Welker as Soundwave, you know, as much as I was happy to hear Frank was a part of this, I was a little disappointed that it was Dr. Claw's voice.
Yeah, they didn't modulate, put in the modulation.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Right,
I mean,
Dr. Claw, and all they did was, it was the same voice, they just would modulate it for Soundwave, and they didn't do that for it, which I sort of like because it made Soundwave scarier than what we remember. But yeah, it was sort of like, I don't know if that was, we ran out of time, or we just felt that it worked better without it, sort of type of deal.
Oh, I think it was probably a stylistic choice, but I mean, I think most of us that grew up on the Gen 1 Transformers watched Inspector Gadget. I mean, I'm not, you know, trying
right.
to generalize too much, but, you know, as much as I look back and think how stupid that show is now, all I could think of was Dr. Claw, you know, from it. I appreciated the way they handled Soundwave. I was glad that the rumors that we originally heard about it possibly
turning into a truck.
A truck, and yeah, that he pretty much is just up in space orchestrating everything. I think that is a perfect fit characterization-wise.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they did that extremely well, and I thought he did, in terms of, you know, the way that they did the voice, it sounded like they added more bass to it, and it was like, ooh, Soundwave is, like, really freaking scary. And I think that was a perfect way to take care of Soundwave, make him a satellite. And maybe in the next movie, he'll come down to Earth and actually join, because I think they were saying that he was the one that was in the trenches with the Constructicons. So, before I get to the Constructicons, what did you think of the dialogue between Starscream and Megatron? I love that. I was hoping that our friend Kirk would actually like that, because that's what he was complaining about in the first movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a little more banter, which is nice, because, like, in the first movie, Starscream character, yeah, he really was a shallow character. I mean, he did some cool stuff, but characterization-wise, it was pretty crappy. But I was glad to see the banter a little bit more, so that was good. The whole Sith Lord, you know, apprentice thing between the Fallen and Megatron, you know.
I know, that was weird. It was like, I thought Megatron was the head bad guy.
Well, yeah, and all of a sudden, so, and maybe I was just missed something, so they have a base on one of Saturn's moons or something?
That is the Nemesis, the original Decepticon ship that's been used over and over in Star Trek, Transformers lore. The Nemesis is the most powerful Decepticon ship, and basically, and this is stuff I guess you would catch from the comics, but he doesn't want to arise until the last Prime is dead or something like that.
Right, so I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's been sitting, like, just hooked up into the Nemesis for millennia.
And that brings me to the other point, is that when, you know, it's just, when Megatron's coming to that, he's all of a sudden at the bottom of the trenches, comes out of the trenches, and then all of a sudden he's by Saturn and Jupiter. It's like, to me, it was like, that's a problem I have with Michael Bay's editing. He doesn't allow anything to pause and just, you know, he's just, you know, moving on to the next scene. There's no moments of silence unless it's slow motion. It's always action and or comedy. Now,
well, let me say, who did they sacrifice to bring Megatron back? What do they do, rip the guy's spark out?
So here's the thing, is that there's more than 10 Constructicons. It's basically whatever they came down, they scanned. They were, because the ones, there were like about 7 of them that made up Devastator, but then there was other Constructicons chasing Sam in the battle.
Right.
So, for example, you know, Prowl and Bluestreak were both the same car, but they were different characters. So they can scan the same thing, but they're different characters. So basically, Devastator was one set of Constructicons, which in the main claw guy, Scavenger, where Demolisher, the guy at the beginning of the movie, scanned the same claw but was a different character, which I thought was kind of a cop-out for just, can't we just make another model of a different guy for, you know, the one that they're battling in the city? So basically, I don't know which one they sacrificed for Megatron. I think it was one that scanned that looked like a copy of Long Haul. So I'm not sure if that was one that they killed or what, but I mean, that's why the problem is that I agree with you. There was just so much fast action going on. I'm curious to see, there were people reporting on Twitter that they were going home with adrenaline rushes, and I'm curious if, like, people with epilepsy would say that they had problems with watching this movie, because it was just, a lot of it was just like, oh my God, just slow down.
No, the epileptic stuff usually occurs with flashing lights and things that set the electric impulses in your body to an odd pattern. There was a lot of crap going on, it's not going to cause epilepsy.
Okay. I mean, there were some battle sequences, I agree with you, and a lot of people, don't get me wrong, I love the movie. I think it was a step up from the first movie. It gave the fans what they wanted, which is basically more robots, more battle sequences, and while the plot wasn't the most ingenious plot, I thought it was a lot better than the first movie, and it sort of does feel like there's two movies. It's like the first half is like up till the death of Optimus Prime, and then the second half is sort of like the chase in the desert. And I felt that, and you probably now know what I'm talking about, there are scenes where it's like, okay, robot, human face, or robot, dog's humping. Why was that shot in there? And it's sort of like Michael Bay, I'm not sure why he cuts to odd things that don't make sense.
Still on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Yeah, so. All right, we're actually going to go in and do the live show now, folks. So,
we can finish on this, right?
Well, we can. We'll wrap it up real quick before we go in and do the live show.
So. Oh, we're actually. We're going to be re-talking about what
we're
talking about.
Yeah, I know we're going to redo it again. So.
Well, then why did we even bother telling this?
Because I wanted to get your first impressions of Play on a Layer Day. So.
Oh.
Oh. Jason's heart's been broken. So. But yeah, so we'll go in now. We'll do the live show on Ustream and give our thoughts, and you'll hear this at a later date. So if you just hit slide the thing and hit off, I think we'll be good to go.
Okay, so I started recording. This is the TFormers.com podcast, recording live. We just got back from the theater. It is 10:28 Eastern Standard Time, and I am sitting here live. Yes, folks, look at that mug there. That mug there, that is what Z Piper looks like, folks. Yes, yeah, scary, isn't it? But don't worry, it won't break the camera. So, hi, Jace.
Good evening.
What's it like being back in Columbus? Let's start with the basics.
Do we really want to go off on one of
Pittsburgh hating rants? Yes, I love your Pittsburgh hating rants.
It's like an old comfortable shoe, a warm blanket, mom's best goulash on a cold winter night.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yes.
All right. So, hello, Z Piper. Mug not scary. That's DMG, I think, is writing to us. So we got some funny stuff lined up for you tonight. If you're on, please join the chat room. Don't use Twitter because we don't check the Twitter feed that often while we're doing live stuff. But I see GigaStream is on there. Hey, GigaStream. And a guest one and some other people. Guest one's probably you on the computer here. So anyhow, so we just got back. We just left the theater. I should pre-record some stuff in the car. I'll post up a little bit later. But let's just go over Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. So overall, Jace.
Well, I mean, like I said, we're going to be kind of rehashing a bit of what we talked about in the car.
That's
so.
Fine. Let's rehash.
Well, I'll say, and he was like, don't expect anything new when you get.
Oh, yeah.
If you're
getting
the download for whatever it is that you did with your iPhone. But, you know, all in all, I would have to say that it was enjoyable.
Okay.
But to sum it up, I would have to say it was anticlimactic.
And you just feel that the ending just wasn't what it was?
Well, I just felt that a lot of the aspects, now maybe in perspective, this is because we've lived and breathed this bloody movie
for the last 2 years.
For a ridiculous amount of time. And, you know, we've just seen so much about it. I mean, now I knew that it wasn't going to, you know, be built. I mean, we've just built it up so much
in our mind
as to what it was. But no, I think that they're just, it's like everything that we thought, you know, was going to be like big and epic and whatnot, at least for me, it just didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
You know, there wasn't hardly any character development. Like, just because it's longer and because we've got more robots in it doesn't mean that there's any better character development. I mean, yes, we got to see, you know, there was a little more Bumblebee music thing, which again I have an issue with because I know that Bumblebee wasn't out there with the Nest team killing Decepticons for 2 years. He was kind of parked in Sam's garage, but you don't think Ratchet could have wiggled something together and FedExed it to Bumblebee with some instructions on here, pull out this tab, put in this, voila, you can talk, whatever. But it's just the character development didn't feel like it was there. Like, we had more robots, and we still, you know, like I said, there was a lot of red shirts in there. Just random Decepticon 12, whose sole purpose is to get his head chopped off.
Right.
You know, there was that.
Well, let's go over real quick. What do you think worked? What was the stuff you felt worked with this movie?
I'd have to say that, you know, the story seemed a little more cohesive than the first one. The first one, that was just a Hail Mary pass to see if people would buy it,
right,
you know, as far as a franchise would go. And that's, you know, pretty typical. That's fine. So while the story definitely still had some holes in it, okay, I mean, very few movies, I have to say these days, very few movies have airtight plots.
Right.
I mean, if I really look hard enough, I can find something they didn't answer, which most likely might have been answered, but was just left on the editing room floor.
Right.
But yeah, this had a few holes in it, but I thought that it kind of, you know, I appreciated, as you know, again, we talked about this earlier, in a previous podcast, you know, tying it into the dawn of early civilization, you know, things along those lines. I thought that that worked pretty well. So as far as the overall, you know, story was concerned, you know, pretty decent.
Special effects thing?
The special effects, I thought, and this would get into possibly another point, is that the special effects, you know, were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ILM did a great job. It was just very hard for me to appreciate the special effects because most of the time I couldn't tell what was going on screen.
Right.
And that's what, you know, we talked about previously, that just with the new style of Transformers, you know, them being a little more organic in nature, and, well, at least as far as, you know, the look is concerned, you know, like an example was the forest fight with Optimus Prime and Starscream and Megatron and Grindor. It was very hard for me sometimes to tell exactly who Optimus was fighting.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure if I see it, you know, multiple times, you know, now that I know a little bit more what to look for, but as a first-time viewer, you know, I had to ask the guy next to me, you know, who just got his head ripped in apart, you know, by Prime. I mean, it's like, it couldn't be Megatron, obviously.
No.
You know, but I was like, was that Star? I couldn't tell because when they're all in their robot form and rolling around in the forest, you know, it's all just kind of an off gray color. And,
right.
You know, I know that it took a lot of processing power to render that. You know, the models are great, but it kind of fell prey to that ADD cinematography that we've sadly had to deal with for a good number of years, which is everything happens so quick, and it's just real hard to see what's going on. And additionally, you know, I thought the camera work was a little too Blair Witch Project for my taste. You know, that, you know, you're running down a hall, and do you need to give the camera to the guy with Parkinson's, you know, shaking the camera up and down?
Okay, now wait, well, you're going into what doesn't work. What does work? Stick with what works that you liked about
really,
it.
Really, I think, you know, the core of the special effects were good, and the story was a little more cohesive than the first. That's really the only main stuff that comes to mind.
You didn't like Optimus kicking ass this time and Megatron Starscream?
To me, that goes with you know, more of the special effects things. You know, Optimus kicking ass. I mean, it was good to see, you know, him in his form, and yeah, I agree that the we got to see a little bit more bickering between Starscream and Megatron, which was completely absent from the first movie. So that worked. As far as,
what do you think? Did Devastator work? What do you think of Devastator?
As I've said previously, anticlimactic.
Really?
I had no attachment to Devastator in this movie.
Well, you're not supposed to. He's a big scary monster.
Well, but I mean, it's like the other ones, you know, they have some voices, you know, they have some characterization, things like that. And I think by them just making a bunch of random Constructicons, you know, that did various things in the movie, it really just made him more anonymous. If these were the only Constructicons they made and they went together and formed Devastator, I would feel a little bit more personal ownership with him. But it's just like, oh, well, you know, they made 15 Constructicons and that's 7 of them. Okay, great. And I was a little disappointed. And I mean, I realized that, you know, this is a railgun fired from a battleship and whatnot, but it just, again, it's just like, okay, you know, it's supposed to be this big climactic thing he forms together. Well, he sucked up a few cars and a couple tons of sand and then crawled off to go beat the crap out of the top of a pyramid. And then he gets a railgun through the head. I mean, all the special effects there were great. Don't get me wrong. Right. But it just, I wanted to see
the
battle with Devastator.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, he's this big, huge, hulking thing. Let's use him. And I mean, I guess it's kind of good to give the humans something to do, you know, like, hey, we took care of, you know, a big bad guy. But yeah, I mean, it's just,
that's one of the complaints is that, one of the main complaints is that Devastator was taken out by a human weapon and not like the Autobots or something like that. So,
well, I mean, I appreciate, because really that does add credence to the humans in that we're not just meat puppets that just walk around, you know, we can do something, you know, and I
small
appreciate
as in it may be, but we can occasionally do something to help the Autobots.
Right. And we can take care of Decepticons. I mean, you know, if we're in an area where we can bring our firepower to bear, we can do that. So I appreciated that. But it's like, to me, that's, you know, let the humans kill random Decepticons 7 through 15. Okay. And I wanted something a bit more epic with Devastator.
Okay, so let me back you up there. What? Let's go over the top things that you felt didn't work in the movie. So just like the major things that you feel didn't work.
What do you get when you have, when you cross...
By the way, before you go, let's what's the chat room saying? Let's see, me puppets is my new favorite word for humans. So DMG Ray is, which is messaging me on Skype, but doing the chat room, please, is saying, big letdown. Did you see the crotch gun the robo appliance had in the kitchen? He was packing. Special effects was good. See it three times. Whoo, but bummer. And basically, I put these in the chat room, DMG. I'm not going to read two monitors here. It's going to drive me nuts. So, me puppets is mine. Okay, so what? Okay, so you were going to say, what do you put together?
What do you get when you cross Michael Bay, Jar Jar Binks, and Jimmy from Good Times?
Okay.
Why, you get Skids and Mudflap.
Now, I don't think they would. I still think they were as bad as Jar Jar Binks. I think
no, they're not as bad.
Now,
because,
here's the thing,
because
when I saw it every night, the kids are laughing at these characters.
I know.
Kids are laughing at these guys.
We have to understand that Michael Bay makes movies to appeal to the widest possible audiences. Kids up through the adults who are drugged there by their kids,
right,
to watch this movie, and people like ourselves who enjoy Transformers who just want to go. So he's trying to just spread the jam over the entire, you know,
piece of bread.
and okay, but there's, you know, I haven't been in fourth grade in a long time. And there were so many gratuitously stupid things that he threw in there. Oh, can I see a dog humping? Oh, twice? That's great. Mm. Oh, and for no good reason, Wheelie's humping Michaela's leg. Oh, stupendous. Oh, Devastator's got balls. Oh, that's really classy.
Yeah,
that stuff annoys me.
I think the humor with the parents worked the best because it made sense to the situation. Sam's awkward. He's trying to be this leader, but at the same time dealing with how do I deal with my girlfriend at the same time, my parents who are driving me crazy. I felt the humor there and the swearing, that works there. But with Skids and Mudflap and every other chance that he invoked humor, it always feels forced. Like it's not. Now, I will say this. Simmons was a lot better this time around in this movie. He had a purpose. He was more intelligent. He didn't seem like an annoying dumbass.
We didn't need to see his hairy ass.
I thought that was like, what the hell is that doing? There's no point to show this movie and for him to say, I wear wherever the... Oop. Well, I guess that...
Yeah!
Well, hell, it's in the movie, so what do you know? What you guys want, you know? If you're kids, I apologize. And then there was like shots of Leo crying, which I'm just like, why are we showing this? Why are you jumping to this? It was like the biggest complaint I have is Michael Bay has no sense of editing. He does not know how to stay within one topic. We're going around from comedy to action, horror to tension, comedy, action, horror, tension. I do agree that he doesn't know how to find a place and stick with it. I thought the stuff with the parents were because the parents are amazing actors, and Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, I think, were also very more into their role this time around.
Right.
I felt more comfortable. Simmons was good. Could have done without the roommate. Could have done without the professor guy from The Office. I don't like that guy at all.
Rainn Wilson.
I don't like that guy at all. That's just a personal preference. I thought that was like, okay, sexual innuendos as a professor. He couldn't do that anyhow because otherwise a normal university would fire him. I think that's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with the roommate thing here because really, other than hooking him up with Simmons, what did he bring to the table?
That's pretty much it.
At all. There was no reason for him to be in there other than he hooked him up with Simmons. But no, I understand that he was trying to make certain things for everybody. And yeah, there were kids in the theater. I heard them. Every time Skids and Mudflap opened their mouth, they thought it was like the word of God, the greatest thing ever.
They thought it was funny.
But to me, it's just encouraging. You know, like, don't use the word racist.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Not.
Hold off on that topic.
I'm just saying, but it's just, it's a regressive ethnic stereotype. And, you know, as I had said, you know, to our buddies that went with us, I was really expecting Skids and Mudflap at one point to bitch that there was not watermelon and Popeye's fried chicken flavored Energon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and,
but wait a minute. Now, Wheelie was like an Italian Brooklyn's type stereotype.
Yeah, he's like a little mafioso.
But a lot of people were laughing at him. And he actually, to me, I felt he worked because, I don't know, is that stereotype just not considered a more negative stereotype, more making fun of it?
I think because he was used in smaller amounts, he was a little more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I agree.
Dilemma I'm having here. It's like, I like Wheelie, I don't like Skids and Mudflap, and I don't want to say it's because they're one stereotype and he's the other stereotype.
Well, no, I think it's just a matter of how they're used, what they say, and, you know, just you know, exactly what goes on with the movie. Because, you know, yeah, he's a freaky little guy with a lot of complex, you know, issues, because he's a little dude.
Right.
And so, yeah, he's got the short Italian syndrome.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, crazy bitch! You know, okay. You know, it didn't do a whole lot for me, but it didn't repulse me like Skids and Mudflap, because, you know, again, I realize they want to make them a little more human and whatnot, and who right. knows, after living here for a while, maybe they do pick up some mannerisms.
Well,
but just running around calling people punk asses and pussies and whatnot, that just... I don't know. It just
the
feels
pussy,
ghetto.
The pussy thing I felt worked, but everything else didn't work.
Well, the only reason that worked because of timing.
Yeah, timing that worked.
Timing, that worked, but is what was said, I think, was a little weak. But just, and the he had a gold tooth too.
So getting into this now, this is the complaint. A lot of people are actually saying that this is very racist because they're talking jive. He has a gold tooth. And they can't read, and they're saying that this is a very, you know, African American stereotype and stuff like that.
Well, see, like, one, I hate the word racism, okay? I really do, because it does exist, but people overuse it. People slap it on anything that they even find remotely irritating, okay? Mm. It just seems to be, you know, the hip thing to do. I didn't find them racist. I found them stupid, and like I said, it's a regressive ethnic stereotype, in my opinion. You know, stereotypes exist for a reason.
Mm.
I've known in my lifetime, I don't keep people, you know, that I don't agree with as friends, but, you know, I've known many people in my life that were Skids and Mudflap, complete with the gold tooth, sucking on the pacifier back when that was big back in the day, wearing their damn pants around their ankles, you know, it's just... They're out there, you know, it exists.
Right.
Well, but I don't want to see that in my big fighting robots.
Right, right. And they're big fighting robots. What's the chat room saying? We got, there's Lisa, Condo Blues, and GigaStream says, my brother loves Skids and Mudflap, engulfed to almost crowd and laughter when Skids was a ninja. And we also have DMG and a Ustreamer guest. So, guys, there's a poll there that I posted asking you what you thought of the movie. And your choices are A, excellent, B, good, C, fair, D, horrible. Why don't you just give me a shout out and let me know what you thought of the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that the kids are going to like Skids and Mudflap, because really that's where kids' mentality is. You know, farts are funny.
Right.
Poop is funny at that age. And, you know, as adults,
well, I thought it would work better if they just... I don't know. It's like, to me, it's like, how can you not make those two characters? And granted, the one guy that did the voice was the guy from the hacker.
Anderson,
which was black. The other guy was white. But how can you not make those characters and think nobody's not going to have an issue with them? I mean, did Michael Bay never attend a marketing class and, you know, not understand the 101s of marketing and target groups?
Here's the thing. You're never going to please everybody. So that's why, you know, on one hand, I don't like Skids and Mudflap. But on the other hand, I need to defend them for what they are in the fact that he put those two are in there for the kids. I understand that. I don't like them, but they're not there for me. They're in there for the kids. And, you know, people, you know, with you know, how connected everyone is, you know, you can put your bitches and whines out there for all to see, and you're just not going to please everybody.
Right.
You know, you have to have some characterization. You have, or otherwise everybody's just walking around talking in monotone voices, because God forbid we offend anyone.
That's why
every piece of artwork and every public building you go into is abstract, because it doesn't offend anybody, because it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And, you know, so from that, I absolutely, you know, will decry people who are like, oh my God, he's racist, he's terrible.
Well, it's his movie, he can do with whatever he wants.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't like them, but, you know, I did they need to be in there?
Okay, so let's go over some various scenes of the movie I wanted to get. Our friends didn't like the first action sequence, which I thought was awesome, with Optimus Prime coming down, attacking Demolisher and kicking Major butt. I thought that was fantastic. What'd you think of the opening sequence?
Well, I mean, again, that falls in line with, it was hard for me to tell what was going on. It was kind of nice because even though it wasn't shown directly, it seemed like we had a good amount of human casualties in that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
A lot of humans dying this, which was like, wow.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of missing from the first one. You just can't have rampaging robots through civilized area and not have some collateral damage. And, you know, I mean, he was running over cars and blown right on.
Right.
But again, you know, it was nighttime. There was lots of explosions and the camera was all over. It was really hard for me to kind of see what was going on. It's like, did I know Optimus parachuted onto him and started shooting the crap out of his face and whatnot? Yes. But did I actually see him do it? Not really.
Now, the first time I saw it, I had the same issue. And the second, third time, I'm seeing more as I watch it more and more because I know what is specific.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to improve the more I see it, and like, okay, so here's something I had an issue with before, and I'll concentrate on it a little more.
It gets better the more you see it, because you have time to sort of focus in on the various areas. If you're there, folks, go ahead and feel free to talk in the chat room. Let me check the Twitter stream real quick. Okay. Too much adult theme. EMG says, too much adult theme humor. Okay, so, you know, that did bother me a little bit, that there was a lot of, you know, it seemed like, okay, like I said, swear words in the comedy I felt worked with the parents when the mom's like, I'm not going anywhere, you can't say shit about it. I felt that worked, but other places I'm just like, it felt really forced and contrived. Like, we really didn't need them swearing, we didn't need ass chaps, you know, there was just points in it where I felt it was just sort of like, you know, especially when I saw it the first night, and then one scene where Michaela is in the crotch of Leo, you know, when they Jetfire opens up a portal, which nobody understands what the hell happened there. And one of my friends made a point that we went from the Smithsonian to all the way over in Denver once Jetfire got outside, where they store jets in like another thing. The Smithsonian doesn't look like that, I guess, from the outside.
That's correct. The Smithsonian is not in the middle of a damn desert.
Yeah. So there's that issue to deal with as well. But one of the issues is that, you know, where all of a sudden Jetfire teleports them without any explanation, stuff like that. There were just parts where I just felt we could cut this scene, cut this out. There were about 5 points which I felt we could really cut out some extra footage that really just didn't need to be there because it disrupted the flow of the movie.
Well, right. And I was really, you know, I'm happy for longer movies, as I said, but we just didn't get much development as far as characters. You
right.
know, for them lauding and, about all the new facial animations and deeper character involvement, we didn't get it.
Well, no, and everybody said we would have loved to see more RC, the more RC bikes and more Sideswipe. Sideswipe looked awesome.
Yeah.
We got Huey and Dewey.
Yeah, for the whole damn, and you know, and wow, we got how many lines from Ratchet and Ironhide? I think poor Ratchet had
Ironhide had a lot of screen time, but very few lines, and Ratchet had about maybe 2 lines.
Yeah, all we saw him doing was cocking his arm and firing.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, it was sort of like, well, you got to show the old guys too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we saw Ironhide for a little bit, but then it was sort of like, okay, that was it, you know, and we focused on, now granted, it could be just because the models for Bumblebee and Optimus are better, but, you know, now what'd you think of Bumblebee kicking both Rampage and Ravage's butt?
I was actually glad, that was one thing I was pleased about, because in this one, Bumblebee just isn't the ridiculous little kid bot.
Right.
You know, for the
well, he was in the first one, too.
Well, he was, and he was just kind of, you know, they had that one episode where they highlighted him, you know, to make him, you know, the one that needed to come, I forget the title of it, but... you know, I was glad to see that he is a capable warrior in his own right. Ripping Ravage apart. Yeah, all right. You know, I mean, I liked Ravage. Sad to see him go, but, you know.
We don't know if any of these people. We thought Megatron was dead. Guess not.
I mean, that's, you figure random.
Okay, what did you think of Jetfire? When I went to the bathroom the first time, I didn't like Jetfire because I went to the bathroom during the first night. The second night I listened to him, he's not – I like him. He's a little bit over the top, but he's all right in terms of the voice actor makes up for it. I felt that obviously one of the major complaints that Ender would make is that basically he's the guy that's basically explaining the stuff that they can't say, you know. In other words, he stops the whole movie, tells a story, which is a failure of the writers, like in Star Trek. So what did you think of Jetfire?
Overall, not terrible. I appreciate that they branched out a bit and, you know, went with, like, you know, the British accent, you know, including some of the British vernacular, because if everybody's been around, you know, on Earth for a while and they've got their own Cybertronian language, anything they say in English is something they picked up here.
Right.
So, and if they are truly as adaptable as all that, they all just wouldn't have United States Americana accents,
right,
you know? So I appreciated that they branched out a little bit with that. Although everything else, I thought he suffered from a little over-characterization. You know, the cane made of his landing gear, the little flaps that made the grizzled Santa beard because he's an old guy.
Right.
You know, and the parts constantly falling off of him. I mean, I got that he's old. You know, Wheelie said they're the Seekers, they're the oldest of the old. I got that. But yeah, just I thought that he just went a little too far.
I agree with you there.
He wasn't over-the-top ridiculous like Skids and Mudflap, but it's like if we pulled him back
like just a little, he would have been fine.
He would have been spot on.
Okay.
You know, yeah, so that, you know, he didn't bother me, you know, nearly as much. And, yeah, poor RC, you know, we saw her, you know, the cool little holograms with the riders and whatnot, and they had that one little bit showing that they can't do crap, so they need to call in Sideswipe and, you know, take care of things. And then she gets one line and takes a rocket to the face.
Well, she had two lines.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was the thing when I was watching the Moonbase 2 guys. They were saying that RC and Sideswipe, supposedly Sideswipe died too somewhere during the battle. I can't find where that is watching it
three times. And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, there's so much crap blowing up and so many of the robots look the same
during
those sequences. Like, you can't tell what's going on.
And most of the time the special effects look real, but I feel like they made everything move so fast to hide the things that they didn't have time to properly render that I'm
well, I don't know. They had a good amount of time and computer problems.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that's what they do, because when computer movies and animation first came out, they would always make things that move fast crystal clear in every frame. And when that doesn't happen in real life, it's a blur to your eye. And when they discovered that, hey, if we have an alien jumping off a wall, it's got to be a little bit blurred, then make it, you know, to make it look real. That's when I went frame by frame for the first movie on the DVD, that's what they did. And I felt that they really went overboard in some sequences, because the last sequence, Prime's taking on both Fallen and Megatron, and you can't tell what's going on because it's going so fast.
And everything's spinning.
And I wanted a 30-second replay button in slow-mo to be able to just sit down and say, what the heck is going on here? Now, I mean, I could do that in a movie, but you shouldn't have to do that in a movie in order to be able to enjoy it, in my opinion. So, I mean, granted, too, I realize we're nitpicking this because we're true fans. The critics hate this. I was watching the Twitter feed at work Thursday. Everybody, it's either black or white. I either love the movie, it's the greatest movie ever, or it's the most horrible thing that we've ever seen.
No, I'm neither of those.
I know you aren't, but it seems like the world is from what I've been reading. Either people love this, which generally tends to be the younger audience, or they hate it. And I'm just like, well, I could see maybe that the older crowd is having problems just trying to watch the movie, which the younger kids, which are used to ADD, a little more adept to these things, could probably see it. But yes, like Michael Bay, just slow the action down. You know, if you want to do slow motion scenes all the time, that's fine as well, but just slow some stuff down, because it's like, I'm trying to figure out what Prime is doing in the forest. And it's just like, I think he threw a tree into Starscream. I'm not sure what's going on, so. Now, granted, that may be a limitation of the technology at the time. Maybe we're not there yet, but you're saying not.
So. No.
Okay.
That's simply a design choice, what we're talking about here.
Hey, chat roomer, if you're still there, and I'm not seeing anybody say anything after GigaStream, give us your thoughts. Why don't we try refreshing this page real quick?
Sure.
So, we got what were some other things that, you know, felt worked or didn't work, or that you, you know, what were some other things? I mean, I don't know, it's an enjoyable movie. I would say it was a step up from the first one.
Yeah,
our friends say the first one was better. I'm like, no, this had more what you guys wanted, which was more robots.
Yeah.
More robots talking. Oh, Megatron, Starscream finally talking.
Right,
I thought
we
that was
about
well
that,
done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
What was your had a complaint about the Fallen being a puss?
Yeah, I mean, it honestly, you know, if only the Primes can take him down, you know, again, well, why? You know, I mean, yes, Prime is a badass in this, you know, so what, like the Primes are just inherently, you know, a little
well, that
more
I think
badass.
Was explained in the comic book, which,
okay.
you can't.
Yeah, and it's just, I was expecting a bigger battle, you know, in the end there. I mean, yeah, we had Megatron and, you know, and the Fallen at the same time, you know, going after Optimus, and he was beefed up with Jetfire's bits, which I thought was a little ham-fisted. Like,
yeah.
What, we slapped down some lightning tethers and magically, bam!
Yeah, yeah,
and
Bolt's
yet,
only thing is to be electrifying, and then they just...
And then they just go right to him, and I'm like, and again, in all that, you can't fix Bumblebee's voice.
Yeah.
You can throw, you know, lightning skeins of yarn on the ground, and woohoo! But you can't, anyway.
Poor Bumblebee.
And poor Bumblebee.
I don't even think he wants to talk at this point. He has too much fun with the radio.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just the whole fight with the Fallen was only like 30 seconds. And, you know, I do, like I said, I think Tony Todd was a good choice of voices with that. They didn't overmodulate him. So you could still kind of tell it was him. He's got a very distinctive voice. I feels like they pulled Hugo Weaving's modulation back a little bit on Megatron, which I was happy to see. Again, I'm not a huge fan of just using celebrities to use them, but it's.
Well,
like,
I thought it worked though. I mean, I thought
they did. Okay.
And I love that Frank Welker was back. I thought that non-modulating the voice. If you're
talking about Soundwave, you know, this is. I disagree. You liked it that they didn't modulate it.
I thought that worked better for this particular version of Soundwave.
All I could think of was Dr. Claw.
Right.
You know, I'll get you, Gadget.
Oh,
you
that's
know.
Really good.
Well, yeah, but it's just, you know, oh, God. I mean, I loved what they did to him. I love that he didn't come down. He wasn't a spy van or anything that we, you know, early speculation was leaning towards. He was just up in space, running the show, monitoring everything, being the true communications spy expert that he's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, right on. That is nailing the characterization.
That is a great adaptation. I thought that they did him justice.
Right. And again, I'm so happy that Frank was on board.
Yep.
But I did not like Dr. Claw. It's just all I can think of is just, you know, him stroking Mad Cat, you know, talking about, you know, you know, I would have liked to have seen a little more classic Soundwave voice, you know, for that.
What's the chat room saying?
My vision is blurry at this point. Fallen was... Oh, here we go. Oh, whoa, we're jamming right along.
Hi, everybody. By the way, we're going to have to wrap this up fairly soon here because we got people coming, but needless to say, we appreciate you guys coming out for this late night showing. Let's see, we have Megan Sam. Let's see, what's that? Let's see.
Yeah, he's like, Megan talks. Sam talks better. Acting a little better. Fallen was really weak. Yep, I
Joel
agree.
Joel does the blue dead shots. Let's see, Fallen should have been better.
Dude, you're totally slurring.
Oh.
All Jolt does is glue deadbolts to dying bots. All right. And then Fallen was or should be better. The Damned Riders, all in all, 15 minutes. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, Soundwave was in the movie. What did I say, Shockwave or something? Oh, good voice, yeah.
Yeah, we agree with you, DMG. It's nice to... I mean, all in all, it was a great movie. I would give it like 7 or 8. I don't think it's the best that they could have done.
And
I would have liked to have been in the editing room with Michael Bay, and I'd tell him, cut that out.
I just,
we don't want that.
I gave it a 7, honestly. I'd go more like 6.5, 7, you know, personally. I just think that it suffers under its own weight. Like, it tried to be too many things. Like, you know... as hot, I forget her name, as hot as the chick was that played the pretender, what was her point? What was her purpose?
To get the information from Sam.
There are other ways, right, you know, as well. But, yeah, it's just...
I like the idea, though. I mean, I thought, you know, when the pretenders first came out, they seemed dumb. But this, in this treatment, I actually like that idea that, okay, this is maybe a one special transformer or, you know, a type of transformer that transforms into a human. I thought that worked out very well, and it wasn't Terminator-esque.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, and I mean, she got offed pretty quickly and easily. But, you know, they didn't explain, you know, I'd like to know where that came from.
Right.
You know, like the whole flesh thing.
I think that's in the comic, too.
Yeah, like how that happened. And then I don't know, I thought that as a race, to me, the Transformers, you know, they're the main big folks, and it just seemed like they had too many little nanobots at their disposal.
Well, that's what they...
Now, if those are, like, mindless, that's fine, but if...
Well, no, those are the Insecticons. The marble ones and basically other ones, they wanted to do the Insecticons, but the Insecticons are not going to be the big hulky ones. They're going to be little tiny ones that go find things, is what basically...
But are they supposed to be individual robots, or
I
more
don't
like...
know.
Because that's the part where it's just like, dude, if you've got... I have no idea how the verse works in this new thing they're crafting. It might be explained in the comics, but it's like, you know, if you can only, you know, spark up a certain amount, why the hell waste it on a little fly?
Yeah,
you know, do somebody like a big hulking.
Well, we
thing.
Saw that they're building an army, and one of the things in the comics in the comic was the Megatron's army at the end starts to arise. So, but that's not really explained, which, by the way,
I
got the comic. I actually went and bought the 4 comics for the movie just because I have to know everything before I go into it. And you could tell they did not know what the things were going to be for the movie. They drew it to the best of their ability, but it was there were various things that they knew were not going to be able to match up to the movie.
Right.
So, but all right. Well, all in all, I think that I'm going to post some extra sound on here as well, but I want to go over something real quick. I was reading our iTunes reviews today, and I think you're gonna get a kick out of this.
Lord!
Oh, it's
who reviews the iTunes? Just listeners?
Any one of our friends? And Isabel Lucas? Yes, she was the girl. So
thank you. Yeah, she was. Yeah. Wow.
What about the 2 sets of Constructicons? We already touched on that, and actually, that'll be on the audio too. Okay, so here it's the T-Formers More Than Meets Ironhide 1975's comedy. This is by far the best Transformers podcast on the web. These guys are hilarious. Ironhide 1975's comedy might at sometimes be stale, but other times is good. Z Piper is the best comedy podcast host I've ever heard. This is great. I listen to this even though I already know the news. Highly recommended. Here's from Jeff 7609. Informative, funny, and entertaining, sometimes for the wrong reasons. Daring to ask the question, what if there was a Transformers podcast where the host cannot read? Ironhide 1975 Z Piper provide a fun show with the latest TF news, quite often despite Ironhide's near crippling ability to read aloud or speak coherently more than 60% of the time. Fortunately enough, Z Piper picks up the slack with enough wit and often comical professional delivery to make you overlook those moments of floundering. They're definitely an odd couple, and it's what makes the show work and keeps it from just another couple of nerds going on about trivial details. I have to add that I'm not really fond of the recent PG-13 disclaimer vibe that Ironhide's been trying to emphasize lately. He seems like a decent enough fellow, but come on, innuendo and out the other. So I think that's hilarious.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. Sometimes you're reading a story and I'm like, dude, I have that in front of me and I don't understand what you just said.
I agree with you. You know, first of all, I stutter and I do read way too fast. All right, here's Penguin Poe, an adult TF podcast for grown-ups. These guys have a lot of fun and yet have a nice level of maturity while covering the latest news. It's nice to think that I can welcome either of these gentlemen to my house without having to apologize to my wife for them.
Right.
So, and I just want to say, if you guys are out there, go to the iTunes thing and write some iTunes reviews. Tell us what you think. Reviews always help. So, and TNG is saying you can't hide the PG blanket for the rest of your life. So, yeah, that was the thing too. It's like, I really felt like there were parts of this movie that really weren't for kids, and that's what really upset me.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I really think you have an idea in your head of what PG-13 means, and I don't think that's what you think it means. PG-13 is pretty much almost everything up to nudity.
But the problem is that, yeah, I agree with you. The problem is that they're marketing for toys for kids up to 5, which is the issue. It's like, you know, if we don't have anime now for the kids, what are the kids going to start doing? But, you know, now going over Skids and Mudflap or Sector 7 guy ass chaps.
Well,
know?
And I guess
I'm all about seeing ass chaps. Don't get me wrong, but that was just a totally useless point in the movie.
Yeah, he did. He threw in too much of that stuff. And I think I guess that's what really bothers me about the whole Skids and Mudflap thing is that, you know, yes, kids find it funny, but kids emulate what they enjoy. And I really don't just want to see a bunch of young, innocent kids walking around, hitting each other, calling each other punk ass. And, you know, it's like that.
Yeah, you know, that,
I mean, again, I'm probably being crotchety with
that.
No,
I felt it was crass, too. I felt Devastator's balls. That one I'm a little on the edge about, but where it's like.
No, that was totally.
Like all right. Yeah, it was crass.
Yeah.
So.
Unnecessary.
But. Well, so I guess the people of Shanghai, China are complaining that the movie doesn't make Shanghai look well.
It was getting blown up. It's not supposed
to
look well.
I know. It's like, well, duh. It's not supposed to look well. It's Shanghai getting blown up. So.
Yeah, well, and if I recall, I'm sure that some people who would be really more into these things than I would could correct me, but I don't recall all of the was it Toho or whatever, the monster films? I don't believe they were all just destroying Tokyo.
Yeah.
I mean, there was other cities, you know, where battles took place. And so it's like, we blow something up in your city?
I think people are just trying to find anything to pick apart this movie.
Again, yeah.
I give Michael Bay a lot of credit. He does a great job at action sequences, and I think that, you know, he does a good job of giving you tension and stuff like that. Comedy is okay some of the times. Serious points are good some of the times, but seriously, just cut things out that don't need to be there. You know, you don't need to have. You know, I was glad to see that Simmons had a role this time. He made sense. He wasn't. You know, there was. You know, it's funny finding him in the. You know, the working for his mom, that worked. Leo, I could have done without with.
Right.
You know, Skids and Mudflap exchange for more RC and Skids or more of Ironhide and Ratchet.
Yeah.
Bumblebee crying was cute. You know, yeah. A Prime and Bumblebee kicking ass was nice. But other than that, there's some major flaws with it, but it's not, you know, an ideal breaker for me. I'm hoping that they'll learn from this and make 3 the most astounding Transformers movie that we've ever watched. So,
I mean, I hope so. You know, and again, I realize that we probably had things built up a little too much in our head, you know,
well,
with how much much information we've digested over the past.
You know, we've gone through every toy and every specific item that's come out, and it's like, you know, is this character going to be in the movie? No. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, all the talk about the motorcycles and whatnot, and for the amount they contributed to the movie, they didn't even need to be in there.
Yeah.
RC
didn't combine. We still don't know why they call them twins, and there's 3 of them, which doesn't make sense. We know one's Chromia. What?
Oh, I thought I saw some new stuff pop up there. So
you're being the comic book guy. We need to talk someday. Okay. Here's when the movie is limited. The movie's age limit is 11 years. Are you saying that 11 years, young kids can't go to the movie theater?
I think they're just saying that it's about that level, you know, for like, I wouldn't probably take my not that I have a kid, but like, I wouldn't take my 6-year-old to see that movie.
Right.
You know, and really one of the main reasons why I wouldn't take them is Skids and Mudflap, because I wouldn't want them running around calling me a punk ass pussy or something like that, because I'd have to stuff a sock in their mouth and put them in the linen closet for a day or two, straighten them out.
All right, well, with that, then let's say Jason is definitely not going to win Best Father of the Year, but maybe that's a good thing. So,
see, now that I'm on camera, when I do have kids, if when I get home from work, my kids do not look at me and go, then I will have failed as a father and as a parent.
I don't think you'll fail. I think you'll be a very good father. All right, folks, this has been the TFormers.com podcast. Hey, guys, thank you for joining us on the chat room.
Anything else we need to address? Any last-minute comments, or are we doing okay? Seriously, my eyes are so blurry,
yeah,
I can hardly see.
I'm exhausted. I see Ender just popped on, but Ender, we're going to cut it short because we got people coming. I'm dead tired, so. But kids develop stereotypes issues between 7 and 6 and 10, so I agree. But thank you, guys, and we will see you guys. We're not going to do a show this Sunday.
Oh, we're not?
Yeah, I'm going to tack this on, plus what we did in the car. That's going to be the podcast. So we will, you know, I think we'll actually probably take a week off. So we'll see. So there may be a show next week. There may not be. We'll see what happens. So just keep your RSS feed.
I'm fine.
I need a break. I'm sorry. But needless to say, thank you very much, guys, and stay tuned to TFormers.com. So this is Iron High 1975.
And Zip Piper.
And Person. Bye. Wave to the camera. Bye. The TFormers.com podcast is copyright 2009, TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us an email at podcast@tformers.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.